Dearly beloved in Christ, as we know, there are three persons and one God. This is what we call the Trinity, and this we also know well. And yet, how little we truly know about this greatest of mysteries, or rather, how little we comprehend. It is called a mystery for a reason, after all. But we must adore this mystery and embrace it with our whole hearts in a spirit of humility and faith. It was said of the great St. Augustine of Hippo that one day he was walking along the seashore as he contemplated the Holy Trinity, trying to better comprehend this mystery. Then, as he walked along the sandy beach, he came upon a young boy, and he observed the activity of the young boy with curiosity, his mind being pulled from the depths of an incomprehensible mystery to the antics of this boy, who was running back and forth from the ocean to a hole he had dug on the beach, each time carrying a little of the ocean with him and dumping it into the little hole that he had dug. St. Augustine questioned him, "What are you doing?" And the little boy stopped and explained, no doubt with childlike simplicity, that he was going to empty the ocean into the small hole in the beach before him. And St. Augustine chided him, asking the boy how he thought he was going to achieve this impossible task. But the boy responded, "And how do you suppose that with your small head you can comprehend the immensity of God?" And with that, the boy disappeared. So we know that we cannot fully comprehend the Trinity, but there are some aspects that we know. To God the Father, the first person of the Trinity, is attributed creation. Father Bruno Vercus writes that omnipotence and the work of creation, which implies omnipotence, is specially attributed to the Father, because he is the first principle from which the two other persons proceed. To him, then, I owe my existence, my preservation, and all that has conduced to my preservation. Without him, I should be nothing, and should always have remained nothing. As for the Son, the second person of the Holy Trinity, he says, "The love of God the Son for us has been manifested in a still more striking manner than by the benefit of creation, and namely, by that of redemption, which has not only ransomed us from slavery and death, but reinstated us in all of our primitive rights. What would be thought in the world if the son of a king should take the place of a criminal and offer his life for him? And as for the Holy Ghost, the third person of the Holy Trinity, he says, "The love of the Holy Ghost manifests itself especially in our sanctification and adoption. He sanctified us in our baptism, purifying our soul from all stain, filling it with divine charity, and all those prerogatives of sanctifying grace which raise us to the dignity of adopted sons and heirs of God, and co-heirs of Jesus Christ." In the words of St. Paul, "The charity of God is poured forth in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, who is given to us," Romans chapter 5, verse 5. "For the Spirit himself giveth testimony to our spirit that we are the sons of God, and if sons, heirs also, heirs indeed of God, and joint heirs with Christ," from Romans chapter 8, verse 16 and 17. "He has also sanctified us in our confirmation and in our partaking of the other sacraments, and still further by the attractions of his grace, leading us to the perfection of our state or to the religious life." We also have such quotes from Christ as, "I and the Father are one." Now, Abbot Geringer says, "The Son, who had been sent by the Father, had ascended into heaven with the human nature which he had united to himself for all future eternity. And lo, the Father and the Son sent into the world the Spirit, who proceeds from them both. It was a new gift, and it taught man that the Lord God was in the three persons. The Spirit, the eternal link of the first two, is will. He is love in the divine essence. In God, then, is the fullness of being, without being or end, without succession, without increase. For there is nothing which he has not. In these three eternal terms of his uncreated substance is the act pure and infinite." Today in the breviary, we pray at the hour of prime the Athanasian Creed. which very clearly lays out the doctrine of the Holy Trinity. This summary of the truths regarding the mystery of the Trinity is ascribed to St. Athanasius, but as it is quite long, I will recite here only a small portion of it. It says, "Now the Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity, neither confounding the persons nor dividing the substance. For one is the person of the Father, another of the Son, and another of the Holy Ghost. But the Godhead of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost is all one, the glory equal, the majesty co-eternal. Such is the Father, such is the Son, such is the Holy Ghost. The Father is uncreated, the Son is uncreated, the Holy Ghost is uncreated. The Father is incomprehensible, the Son is incomprehensible, the Holy Ghost is incomprehensible. The Father is eternal, the Son is eternal, the Holy Ghost is eternal. And yet they are not three eternals, but one eternal. As also they are not three uncreateds, nor three incomprehensibles, but one incomprehensible. In like manner, the Father is almighty, the Son is almighty, the Holy Ghost is almighty. And yet there are not three almighties, but one almighty. So the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Ghost is God, and yet they are not three gods, but one God." And it goes on a lot longer, but we note the clarity with which this is being laid down, so that there can be no doubt as to what we are to believe with regards to this great mystery. Not only are we to believe this truth of the Catholic faith, but we are to honor and worship the Most Holy Trinity. But good Catholics do this many times every day. Perhaps without even thinking about it, we are giving honor to the Blessed Trinity before and at the end of every prayer. Yes, it is the sign of the cross by which we honor the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now, if we were to make a meditation out of this short invocation, we could look to what Father Bruno writes as he suggests for making the sign of the cross more thoughtfully. He says, "In the name of the Father, when you say these words in the making of the cross, add at least mentally, who created me in his image and for heaven. These words are a meditation in themselves. Who created me out of nothing, by his almighty power, and still more by his love of predilection, instead of so many others who would have served him better. And of the Son, add to these words in like manner, who has redeemed me by his blood with so much love, redeemed from the slavery of the devil, from the eternal damnation to which sin had subjected me, and from which none but the Son of God could deliver me, who has redeemed me not with gold or silver, but with his blood, with every drop of his blood, and with so much love, the purest and most disinterested love possible, since he had nothing to gain by loving me, being himself the infinite good. And of the Holy Ghost, again add these words, who has sanctified me and adopted me as the child of God, sanctified by his divine inspirations and graces, and adopted as the child of God, adopted in the fullest sense of the words, and with all the privileges of a true adoption. So let us, on this great feast day, rejoice that we have this doctrine of our faith revealed to us, and that we have had so many brilliant and wise teachers led on by the Holy Ghost to teach us and to keep us from going astray. There were many heresies which sprung up concerning the Holy Trinity in the early days of the Church, but now we have but to consult any approved catechism to see the doctrine of the Trinity clearly and succinctly spelled out for us. But of course, as I mentioned, it is still a truly incomprehensible mystery, and so we ought to ask for an increase of faith and pray for the guidance of the Holy Ghost in all these matters. We can't have faith or trust in something if we already perfectly understand it to be true, then it's just believing something because our reason tells us that it is correct. But we can have faith in a truth that we do not yet fully understand. "Because you have seen, you have believed," said our Lord. "Blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed." May we be strengthened, especially with regards to these great mysteries, in the virtues of faith and humility, to accept with docility all that the Church teaches us, the Church, which is guided by the Holy Ghost, the third person of the Most Holy Trinity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.